ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अद्भुतम् इव वासुदेवे किलात्मनि व्रजस्य सत्मनस्तोकेषु अपूर्वम् प्रेम वर्धते। What is this wonderful phenomenon? The affection of all the inhabitants of Vraja, including me, toward these boys and calves is increasing as never before, just like our affection for Lord Krishna, the supersoul of all living entities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This increase of affection was not maya. Rather, because Krishna had expanded himself as everything, and because the whole life of everyone in Vrindavan was meant for Krishna, the cows, because of affection for Krishna, had more affection for the older calves than for the new calves, and the men increased in their affection for their sons. Balaram was astonished to see all the residents of Vrindavan so affectionate toward their own children, exactly as they had been for Krishna. Similarly, cows had grown affectionate toward their calves, as much as toward Krishna. Balaram was surprised to see the acts of Yogamaya. Therefore, he inquired from Krishna, "What is happening here? What is this mystery?" Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jenatasmoi Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Vishwambharo Dvijabharo Jugadharma Palo Pande Jagatriyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadar Hara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is this wonderful phenomena? The affection of all the inhabitants of Vraja, including me, toward these boys and calves is increasing as never before, just like our affection for Lord Krishna, the supersoul of all living entities. Herein, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is giving us an entrance into the mind of Lord Balaramji. He is simply astonished to see this phenomena. Not only in the lives of the gopas, the cowherd boys, and in the cows, but especially he's astonished to witness the phenomena within himself, because never has he been attracted with so much affection toward these cows and boys. He is explaining here that I am attracted with the same affection as I am for Lord Krishna, the supersoul of all living entities. He is addressing Krishna here as the Akhila Atmani, the super soul of all living entities. This means that Krishna is personally, divinely present within the heart of every living being. And every living being is part and parcel of Sri Krishna. So really, what is the eternal lila of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna is eternally enjoying himself. Krishna is eternally loving himself. Because everything is Krishna. Every living entity is part of Krishna. When Krishna loves his part, he's loving himself. And although we are part of Krishna, when we love Krishna, we are loving the supreme essence and the supreme source of our own selves. So really, in truth, the whole exchange of bhakti is eternally simply Krishna having wonderful pastimes of love with himself. And how his affection, his ecstasy is ever increasing toward himself. In this way, every living entity is, in truth, simply a part of the eternal, ecstatic, and mysterious lila of Lord Krishna. That is why sometimes we hear that the Mahabhagavats, they just see everything as perfect. Sometimes on the Uttam Adhikari platform, people just don't see the reason to preach. Because everything is God's lila. Even the illusion and even the suffering of this material world is simply part of God's supreme lila of enjoying his own energies. But part of that lila is that Krishna, although he expands himself in each of his parts and parcels, and he creates that little part of himself to be individual, with an individual state of consciousness, with freedom and independence to choose to love himself or rebel against himself. He allows this facility so that within this realm of his infinite expansions, there can be the lila of personal, individual, ecstatic love. But in substance, Krishna is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, and every part of Krishna is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And the Mahamaya potency and the Yogamaya potency, the material energy and the spiritual energy, they are both perfectly orchestrated by Lord Sri Krishna in such a way that every part of himself is given the full freedom by which that ecstatic lila can only increase in the spiritual world. Why did God create this material world? It's a place where his parts and parcels, himself expanded in his parts and parcels, appear to be suffering, appear to be working so hard, in such a hard struggle for existence. Why does he create this? In the ultimate issue, the only reason why he creates it is simply to increase the ecstasy and the love of the spiritual world. Because without a place like this, the sweetness of the spiritual world would not be to such an infinite degree. Because love means free choice. Krishna is, according to the Bhagavatam, abhigya swarat. Abhigya means he's all-knowing. And swarat means he has independence. He's free. Therefore, every part of him that expands from him also is partially abhigya and swarat, independent and with some perception of knowledge. Just like it is said in the Bible that we are made in the image of God, we have independence. All the qualities of Krishna in its purest, highest degree are infinitesimally manifested within the living entity. Not all, what is it, 78%. 78% of the qualities are within the living entity. So Krishna giving us, we find how Krishna, because he is the complete whole, because everything he does is perfect and complete, Krishna's lust is perfect and complete. It's pure. It's unmotivated. Krishna's stealing is perfect and complete. Krishna's telling of lies is perfect and complete. And they are simply meant for one pleasure. I mean, for one purpose. To give pleasure to himself through all of his expansions, headed by Srimati Radharani. So we find in Vrindavan, when Krishna is stealing the butter from the Braj Gopis, and he's making so many clever arrangements. He goes in sometimes at night with his friends, and he breaks the pots and steals the butter. Sometimes they put it, they hang it in the rafters, and he comes in with and climbs on his friend's shoulders and somehow tries to reach up, and if it's still too high, he pokes it with stick and makes a hole, for all the butter will fall to the ground. Then they will eat it and enjoy it and have a wonderful festival, feed it to the monkeys. Whatever is left, they throw on the walls and throw on the floors and say, "This butter, so useless, the monkeys do not even like it." And sometimes they go to the gopis, little baby children, they pinch them and make them cry when they're sleeping. They put water in their ears. And sometimes when they cannot find the butter so easily, they, Krishna, in anger, he passes urine on the floor of the Braj Gopis. And then when his mother asks, "Did you do these things?" he says, "No. How can you say I do these things? Why do you," when the gopis accuse him, "Why you are stealing?" "No, why you accuse me of stealing? My father is Nanda Maharaj. He has 900,000 cows. You think I need butter from your house, from your pots? I have not done." So in this little lila, we find Krishna's lying, Krishna's stealing, Krishna's becoming angry, Krishna's obviously lusty for butter. Huh? And not only that, he's performing a very immoral activity, passing urine on the floor. He's old enough to know better. Huh? And yet, when the gopis were complaining like this to Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, she said, "Okay, then I will punish my Krishna." And they said, "No, no, 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 please. please understand that the only reason why we live, the only reason why we make our butter, the only reason why we clean our house is just to prepare it for Krishna to come in and start stealing all of our things and performing these most wonderful, delightful pastimes, which are our life and soul. It is our service to Krishna to just prepare our lives in such a way, to prepare our homes in such a way that it will be pleasing for Him to come and enjoy. But if Krishna doesn't do it in such a stealing, prankish way, and if the gopis don't retaliate, the ecstasy and the excitement of their love would not be to the same degree. It would actually be quite boring, right? For Krishna. It's like little children today. I will frankly admit before the deities that I used to do things to break the law when I was a little child. Just little things, not big things, little things. Just because it was exciting. Because if you just follow all the laws, it's just, life is boring. Greg, Shrigali, you didn't, when you were children, didn't you do like this? Yes? Yeah, you just did. Even if not that you want to hurt anybody, not that you have some greedy ambition, but just for excitement, let's just do something to break the law, right? Huh? Just so you'd be scared and you run away and it just gives some sort of vitality to your life, or out of the syndrome of just everybody just doing what they're supposed to do, right? Of course, in Krishna consciousness, anything you do according to the law of Krishna, the whole society is basically against you, so we don't have to break the laws. Life is exciting following all the laws of Krishna. If you follow the laws of Krishna, life is exciting. Don't worry about breaking anything. But if you're following all the laws of the state and you're not a devotee, it's boring. Huh? Why is that? Why is that within all children? Or within many children, anyways. It's because it's in Krishna. When he's a child, he does these things just to bring excitement to the life of all of his devotees. Just to increase the ecstasy, the mystery of his lila. Huh? But factually, he does it simply to give pleasure to his devotees. And his devotees, they become angry with him only to give pleasure to him. Goloka Vrindavan simply is that place where Krishna is giving pleasure to himself. The supreme enjoyer. The supreme enjoyer of everything. But we cannot understand this with our limited consciousness. How could Krishna, giving pleasure to himself, be selfless? God is not selfish. God is completely selfless. Because in each of his expansions, even though they are of himself, still they have a unique individual personality. And there is a unique loving relationship. There is nothing impersonal that exists in the spiritual world. Everything is personal. Every speck of dust is Krishna in a partial expansion that's simply expressing the full capacity of their love for Krishna, the complete whole. And Krishna, the complete whole, is giving all of his love to each of his parts without discrimination. That is the spiritual world. How does Krishna reciprocate? There is a story, a small example. A flower is growing in Vrindavan. So when Krishna sees the flower, and the flower sees Krishna, the flower just, with all of her might, she just prepares herself to be just so beautiful for the sight of Krishna. It's like when a young girl loves a young man, she'll go in front of the mirror and just every little part of her dying corpse, she'll just try to make it so beautiful so that he will enjoy, right? So pretty, huh? Combing hairs and putting on mascaras and putting clothes and seeing which smile looks the most charming. I don't know what else, but they all do like this. Just for the pleasure of their beloved, to attract his mind, to attract his heart. Huh? So the flower, when looking at Krishna, just makes herself as beautiful as possible, just for Krishna's pleasure. And when Krishna sees the flower, he thinks, oh, how beautiful. How much love, how much devotion. Krishna makes himself more beautiful for the flower's pleasure. And when the flower sees, oh, Krishna, just see what he's doing for me. How much he loves me. She makes herself more beautiful for Krishna's pleasure. And when Krishna sees, oh, the intensity of how she's reciprocating with my love, how much she loves me, Krishna makes himself more beautiful, the flower more beautiful. Eternally, they can stand there, making each other more beautiful for each other. And the flower is thinking, Krishna's only with me. How fortunate I am. Huh? In this way, the spiritual world, everybody is eternally ever increasing in their loving reciprocation with Krishna. Krishna is ever increasing in his love for every living entity, and it is expressed through every activity, through every word, through every glance in the spiritual world. And every living entity is eternally increasing the expression of their love and their innermost feelings of love for Krishna. Nothing is stagnant. Nothing is impersonal. This is the divinely love of the Lord. In other words, although Krishna is the supreme Atmaram, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishyate, he's perfect and he's complete. The essence and the supreme manifestation of his perfect completeness is he's always eternally longing to enjoy more and more and more and more and more of his own expansions and energies. And here we find Lord Balaram. He is Purnavatar. Krishna and Balaram are Purnavatar. That means they are the full incarnations with all opulences. But yet Balaramji, he is simply enjoying with ultimate affection his relationship with Krishna. What a wonderful phenomena, Balaramji says. The affection of all the inhabitants of Braja, including me, toward these boys and calves, is increasing as never before. Just like our affection for Krishna, the super soul of all living entities. So here we find, what is the relationship between Krishna and Balaram? It is a relationship, Balaramji says, of ever-increasing affection for one another. Although obviously, Krishna knows he's Balaram, and Balaram knows he's Krishna. The perfection of their relationship is that understanding of their oneness is forgotten, not because of illusion. Krishna never forgets anything. So really it's not forgotten. By our conditioned understanding we may say forgotten. But actually it is simply eclipsed by the intensity of their love for one another. How do we know? We cannot figure these things out, but Balaram's telling us right here. This is the love. This is how God loves himself. And that is why every jivatma a devotee sees as part of God. An expansion of Krishna in a minute, infinitesimal form. And Krishna has expanded in this form simply to enjoy and to be enjoyed by. It's the only purpose of the jiva. To be enjoyed by Krishna and to enjoy Krishna. That's all. So therefore, a Vaishnava has respect for every jivatma. Has not only respect, but has love for every jivatma. Just like there is that story of when Srila Rupa Goswami, he was compiling in Brajbhumi, one of his most celebrated Vaishnava literatures. It is explained to Ballabhacharya. At that time, he was a very older man. Because Ballabhacharya was older even than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him respect out of etiquette as a very senior Vaishnava. So when Rupa and Sanatan were living in Vrindavan, Srila Ballabhacharya was considered very senior Vaishnava. So Vaishnava etiquette is such an important thing amongst Vaishnavas. And the more advanced we become, the more we adhere to the principles of Vaishnava etiquette. And the more we advance, the more we want to advance, the more we must very, very carefully honor the principles of Vaishnava etiquette. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how carefully he observed the etiquette amongst Vaishnavas. Even though he was the Supreme Godhead, those who were the godbrothers of his guru, who accepted him as God and worshipped him, still, he honored them. He always gave them higher seat, always gave them special seva, service. So this is part of the beauty of Vaishnava etiquette. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the observance of Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament that gives beauty to a devotee. If we don't observe Vaishnava etiquette, there's no beauty, there's no charm to our spirituality. In the eyes of God or in the eyes of others. So therefore we find that Rupa Goswami was writing, and of course he is the incarnation of Rupa Manjari, therefore he knows intimately the most confidential aspects of Sri Krishna's Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally certified to Swarup Damodar and through him to the whole world in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Rupa Goswami has understood the most intimate, confidential aspects of the love of my heart through that famous verse that he wrote. So he was writing and Sri Ballabhacharya came and Rupa Goswami, out of humility, he said, I want you to read this and tell me what you think. And Sri Ballabha Bhat, he read it, and he said, this particular statement that you are made, it is not really correct. And Rupa Goswami said, it is not. Then how should it be? why don't you take my book and go over it and make all corrections you want. And whatever corrections you make, he said, I will just leave it at that. So anyways, Rupa Goswami's disciple and nephew, Srila Jiva Goswami, he came to Rupa Goswami. No, I'm sorry, he was sitting on the bank of the Jamuna. And Ballabha came and he had Rupa Goswami's book. And Jiva Goswami offered his respectful obeisances, such a senior Vaishnava. He said, so what is? He said, well, your Gurudev, Rupa Goswami, he has made certain mistakes. I am making corrections in his writing. Ah, what mistakes? I don't believe my guru can make mistakes like this. Not in his writings. So he explained, and Jiva Goswami very politely, with great humility, he explained it to Ballabhacharya, a higher principle of what Rupa Goswami was trying to say. And Rupa Goswami says, and Ballabha said, oh, yes, I didn't understand. He's speaking on a higher level than I was thinking. It wasn't a mistake. Everything he's doing is perfect. Who am I to correct his writings? So Ballabhacharya went back to Rupa Goswami and he said, please take your book back. Why? Why you are giving me my book back? Correct it. Do all editing corrections. He said, no, Rupa Goswami, everything you're saying is absolutely perfect. But you pointed out some mistake. He said, that was my not understanding. When I met your Jiva Goswami, he defeated my ideas. Rupa Goswami said, Jiva Goswami defeated your ideas? He said, yes. He said, please, whatever you write is absolute and perfect. And then Ballabha, with great joy in his heart, went away. So then Jiva Goswami came back. And Rupa Goswami, Bala, Jiva, what nonsense are you? What do you mean? He said, Ballabha's senior to you. He's a senior Vaishnava. With a loving heart, he was trying to help me. And you think you had a right to correct him? This is because you are proud. You are too proud of your vast learning. And in Vrindavan, no one with even one trace of pride is allowed to stay. Only those who are utterly humble and who have given up all ego can remain in Brajabhumi. So therefore, you have no right to stay here. Leave. You have transgressed the etiquette of Vaishnava etiquette because of your pride. Now, if it was you or me, we would probably think, my guru doesn't understand. I was not proud. I was just trying to save his dignity. I was just fighting for him. Jiva Goswami did not even cross his mind. Because he was humble. He wasn't trying to defend himself. Jiva Goswami was thinking, my Gurudev says I'm proud. That means I'm the most sinful of all wretches. I'm too proud. My Gurudev says I don't deserve to be here in Vrindavan. Therefore, I have to go. And he felt that he had committed such an offense. He was considering himself so sinful and so egoistic. Although he wasn't, there was not a trace of it in him. This was the sign of his humility. That he went to a place called Nandagat, which is in the outskirts of Brajbhumi. And there, on the bank of the Jamuna, was a vacated crocodile hole. Radhe. Crocodiles dig a hole in the ground, and they live in that hole. And then they leave. So there was this vacated crocodile hole, which is just a hole in the ground, and he went under the ground, and he was just living in this hole. just weeping and crying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, in repentance, trying to purify himself from what he considered the grave offense of pride. And he was there for a while. And the people of the village, they would hear this person crying and chanting, and they were thinking, what kind of a saint is this, living under the ground in a little hole in a cave? Not even suitable for crocodiles. So they would, all he would accept, he would not accept cooked food. They would just, they can we give you something? He would only accept some roti flour, some wheat flour. And then he would mix it with water from Jamuna, and he would eat little of that, just to subsist. And because of what he was eating, and because of the place he was living, just like our devotees in Vrindavan, they are competing over who can get a better place to stay. Huh? But Jiva Goswami was not in that mood. He was living in Crocodile Hall. And he was subsisting in this way. And he was diseased. He was getting ulcers in his stomach. He was getting, all his skin and everything was just in a terrible, unhealthy condition. No ventilation, no sunlight, no proper food. He was really a mess, physically. But he considered that this is the atonement that is necessary to neutralize the effects of my offenses and my sinfulness and my pride. Such a humble soul. And actually, he did absolutely nothing wrong. But because his guru said he did, he accepted it so seriously. Huh? So one day Sanatan Goswami was doing Madhukari. He was walking through the villages. Sanatan Goswami was the object of everyone's love in Vrindavan. He would go to Bhaitan and all of these other places, and he would just talk to the people. It is explained that Sanatan Goswami was so transcendental that he considered these Brijabasis are so wonderful that he would just sometimes all night stay up with them just asking how much milk their cows are giving and how their children are and all of these things. He was just so personal. He considered whatever it is that we discuss about the lives of the residents of Vrindavan, it's Krishna's Leela. Huh? And he would also, they would tell Krishna's pastimes, they would talk about the current events in Vrajabhumi. In this way, Sanatan Goswami was just the heart of everyone. Wherever he would go, people would just welcome him with tears of love from their hearts. So when he came to this village, some of the villagers said, Sanatan, you are so austere, but the Baba that lives with us, he is something even more austere than we've ever seen. He said, what is this Baba? He's living in a crocodile hole underground, and he only eats just raw flour mixed with some Jamuna water. And all day long we just hear him crying and weeping. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. We don't even know who he is. We can't even see him. He's underground. But whoever he is, he's a very special soul, very advanced. When Sanatan Goswami heard this, he thought, this is Jiva. This is Jiva Goswami. No one else can do like this. Because nobody knew where he was. They were searching for him. So Sanatan, he said, Jiva Goswami, come out. Just come out. And Jiva Goswami said, I can't. I'm too sick. I can't even walk anymore. So Sanatan Goswami had to go into the hole, crawl down, and he had to carry him out. And he had to carry him all the way back to Vrindavan. Couldn't walk. This was his state. So Sanatan Goswami went to visit his dear brother, Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswamiji, I must tell you that there is a certain principle in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you have not understood correctly. Rupa Goswami, with such humility, he said, "Oh, please tell me, what is it that I don't understand?" If it was us, we'd say, what do you mean I don't understand? He said, "No, don't you see how many books I've written?" "No." He said, "Oh, please tell me. Help me to improve my devotional service." So Sanatana said, "Narrate to me the basic principles of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's teachings." So Rupa Goswami went down the line. And then he came to Jivadoy. Jivadoy means mercy, kindness, compassion to the jivas. And when he said Jivadoy, Sanatana said, "That's the one." And immediately Rupa Goswami could understand that it's because he was not showing kindness to Jiva Goswami. So he called Jiva Goswami back and with great affection embraced him, forgave him. Jiva Goswami fell at his feet and said, "Please, thank you for your kind mercy. I am your eternal servant." So this idea of Jivadoy, that a devotee sees every jiva as part of Krishna, as the property of Krishna, as the energy meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. And therefore, the more sinful, due to that independence that Krishna gives the jiva, the more sinful a person becomes, the more forgetful and fallen a person becomes, the more a devotee becomes compassionate toward that jiva. Every devotee simply wants every part of Krishna to again be reinstated in the natural constitutional position of being enjoyed by Krishna. A devotee's vision is that everything is an expansion of Krishna for Krishna's enjoyment. But because of this independent, Krishna, part of the lila is to give his devotees the wonderful expression of service, to try to reinstate the consciousness in the jiva of that eternal loving relationship. Reinstate that consciousness of being eternally enjoyed by the Lord. So yesterday someone was saying to me about one place where we are thinking of opening a preaching center. He was saying, "These people, they are so sinful. They are so fallen." And I was thinking, and I said to him, that is all the more reason we should be there. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. When he comes to this earth, the more fallen, the more compassion. This is Nityananda Prabhu's lila. The more degraded, the more mercy they need. The more mercy they need, the more service we can offer. The more service we can offer, the more Krishna enjoys us. That is Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there any questions? Yes, Murli Dar?
Right, but he could not understand the problem. He told him to do it and following.
Not ask what specifically you are talking about. In principle, we must see the Guru as the transparent via medium to Krishna. Understanding or not understanding, to the degree Krishna is speaking through him. Beyond your logical understanding, Krishna is saying what's meant to purify your heart and bring you back to your original Krishna consciousness. If we try to calculate Guru's instructions simply on a managerial level, or on a level of our social identities of what is right and what is wrong, what is best and what is not best, then opportunity to further try to purify himself. Because such great souls, out of their humility, they don't consider themselves pure. The purest of the pure don't consider themselves pure. That is also what we learned from this story. So essentially we have to take our spiritual life above the mental platform and understand that the mercy of Guru and the mercy of Krishna are beyond the mental platform. And as long as we're trying to evaluate everything on the mental platform, then to that very extent we cannot truly receive and accept the mercy of Krishna. We don't come to spiritual life to become efficient. We come to spiritual life to become purified. Right? That's why Srila Prabhupada would often say, whether my Guru Maharaj is right or wrong, he's right. What does that mean? Even if by all material standards he's wrong, he's right because he is for my purification. And that's what's right about spiritual life. That's why I've come to my Gurudev, to get purified. And it's really the great mercy of the Lord when our mind and our intelligence are bewildered and we surrender anyway because we have faith that it's right for my purification. Even though it may make a complete fool out of me in front of everybody else, it's right for my purification. That should be the attitude in which we approach the spiritual master. It's the transparent via medium to Krishna in the parampara. Does that answer your question? Murli Dai? Yes. Jiva Goswami did everything perfectly. Just to show the world the humility of his disciple. To teach the rest of the world the extent of the humility of the followers of Sri Chaitanya. Even though he acted perfectly, when his guru said, "You are a rascal," he said, he accepted from the core of his heart, "Yes, I am a rascal." In fact, Rupa Goswami only chastised him to glorify him. That was his real motive. He knew that Jiva Goswami didn't need any purification, but he wanted to glorify him for all the world to see the extent of the humility of a true follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes? And in regard to the first question, yes, we should defend the principles of our Gurudev. But at the same time, within the realm of Vaishnava etiquette, we must do it. You see, the Siddhanta of Vallabha and Rupa were the same, essentially. So Jiva Goswami did it with great respect and care. He would not stand, he could not tolerate the injustice of the minimization of his spiritual master. And no disciple should tolerate that, ever, under any circumstances. We should either leave or we should reinstate the true understanding of what our Guru is and what he is saying. Should not be cowardly in this respect. So Jiva Goswami acted perfectly appropriately. But at the same time, Rupa Goswami acted perfectly. Because in his own writings, when Vallabha found mistakes, out of etiquette, because he was a senior person, he humbled himself. So out of etiquette, we will humble ourselves before any senior Vaishnava. But we will not tolerate anybody minimizing the position of our spiritual master, our parampara. We cannot. If we do, our spiritual life is finished. So they were both acting for the instruction of all to follow. Do you understand? It's a very deep pastime. Many, many profound instructions. Yes, next question. What he is saying, everything is Krishna's Leela. But there's the Leela of Mahamaya and there's the Leela of Yogamaya. The Leela of Mahamaya is the Leela of forgetfulness. Therefore, we don't really call it Leela so much. Although ultimately it is, because it's Krishna's pastime. Huh? But we are in a state of forgetfulness of the connection between what we are doing, what we are saying, what we are thinking, and Krishna. Anything that we do that is not performed in surrender, devotion, and service to Lord Krishna is Mahamaya. It is Krishna's lila to cast us in a suffering condition of bondage with the laws of karma and the laws of nature. Huh? Therefore, we cannot have the conscious understanding of the sweetness and the divinity of Krishna's lila, although it's actually everywhere, until we surrender to him. Understand? Everything is Krishna's lila, but until we surrender to him, we cannot enter into the conscious understanding and experience of the sweetness and the love of his lila. Therefore, consciously, we are not in Krishna's lila. We are forgetful. But in truth, everything is within Krishna's lila. But it is separated by our own ignorance, our own understanding, our own realization. Any other questions? Yes. Who are we to judge Rupa Goswami? You see, Vallabhacharya was a very good friend of his guru. They were intimate associates. And the criticism, he knew, was not out of envy, was not out of a superiority or complex, but it was with a genuine feeling of service. Vallabhacharya did not criticize. He was just pointing out something according to his tremendous scholarship as a service to try to improve what Rupa Goswami said. Based on the same siddhanta, the same conclusions. Do you understand? If Rupa Goswami felt he was criticizing his guru's teachings, he would have defended. But he wasn't. He was just trying to offer some humble service to Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami humbled himself because he was a senior Vaishnava in that spirit of service. But yes, this is etiquette. You see, they are both acharyas, and they both recognized each other as acharyas. There was no question of canvassing or criticizing. Huh? It was only a question of service. Therefore, we don't show that type of etiquette necessarily to people who are envious, even if there are Vaishnavas. But those who are genuinely sincere Vaishnavas in a spirit of service, according to their position, there is a certain etiquette that must be followed very, very carefully. An etiquette of respect. An etiquette of service. Do you understand? Yes? there any other questions? Yes. We should simply ask those devotees that we trust. Ask a devotee that you personally trust as your well-wisher. And who has the authority of the parampara behind him. If somebody is entrusted with a particular position to guide other devotees and help other devotees, and you have trust in that person, and you really have faith that he's your well-wisher, then you inquire submissively. Any other questions?